Isaiah 43 and verses 10 and 11. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Hallelujah. He says that you may know me and believe me and understand that I'm he. It is easier to believe God when we know and understand God. It is easier. Remember, we're talking about faith, we're talking about warfare, we're talking about these things, all right? It is easier to believe God when we know and we understand God. It is difficult to believe in that which you do not know, let alone understand. It's difficult to believe in the one that you don't know, right, church? And let alone understand. That's why the Lord is saying that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. Why? Because it's easier to believe in the God that we know, to believe in the God that we understand. It is easier. Faith is made easier when we know who we believe, when we know the subject of our faith. Faith is made easier when we know the one that we believe, who is the subject of our faith. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know in whom I have believed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul is saying, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded and I'm convinced. He believes in God. He's so convinced. He's so convicted. He's so solid. He's so steadfast in his faith. Why? Because he knows the God in whom he believes. He knows the subject of his faith. As a result, this man is unshakable. It is because of his knowledge, the knowledge of the one in whom he believes, that his faith is unshakable. Nothing can shake him. He believes in his power. He believes in his ability. But how does he believe in his power, in his ability? Because he knows him. He knows him. The personal knowledge of God settles faith. It's the personal knowledge. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I'm stirred up. I am inspired because I know him. Because I know him. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. We declare to you what we know. Can you see that? We preach to you, he says. This is John. He says, we declare to you, we preach to you that which we know. Now, when we tell you have faith in him, when we tell you believe in him, we are not telling you stories. It's not fairy tale. We know what we're talking about. We know what we're declaring to you. We know what we're preaching to you. It is that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life that was manifested to us. Now we declare to you that which we know, him in whom we have believed. We are not just telling you to believe in a God that we ourselves don't know. We're not telling you to have faith in a God that we don't know. We know. Our eyes have seen him. We've looked upon him. Our hands have handled. He was manifested to us. We have personal, intimate knowledge of him. As a result, we are persuaded. We are convinced. We are steadfast in our faith. We are unshakable. Nothing can move us. We can never suffer unbelief because we know in whom we have believed. We cannot suffer unbelief because we have personal knowledge and experience of him. Unbelief, doubt cannot be our portion when we know him. Unbelief and doubt are a portion of those that don't know him. Why are they doubting? Because they're still struggling. They are still tossing to and fro. They are vacillating between two opinions. And James says, these are unstable in all their ways, and they will not receive anything from the Lord. They will not receive anything from the Lord. They are unstable spiritually. They are unstable in all their ways. The Lord continues to say, before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. He is God before the beginning. He was there before the beginning began. He began the beginning. Before the beginning, he was. Now, this is the one that we declare to you. Right? John says, this is the one that we preach to you. This is the one that we're telling you, you must have faith in him. This is the one we're telling you to believe in him. You have to understand who he is. This is the God who was before the beginning. This is the God who was there before there was the beginning. He began the beginning. Now, when you know who you're talking about, then it's easier for you to believe him. Easier. To believe him, the one who before the beginning he was before there was anything, he was before there was Satan, he was before there were demons, he was before there were angels, he was before there was hell, he was before there were powers, he was. Before there were thrones, he was. Before there were dominions, he was. Before there were principalities, he was. Before there was anything, he was. Why would you fail to believe in him then? Because you don't know him. Don't know him. God is peerless, he has no equal. God is incomparable, he has no one like him. God is unrivaled, he has no competition. God is inimitable. God is unique. God, he stands in a class all by himself. God is matchless. God is unsurpassed. God is unequal. He is outstanding. He's extraordinary. We know whom we're declaring to you. John says. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Nothing can shake me. Nothing can move me. He is peerless. He has no equal. He is incomparable. He has no one like him. He is unrivaled. He's got no competition. He is inimitable. He is unique. He stands in a class all by himself. He is matchless. He is unsurpassed. He is unequal. He is outstanding. He is matchless. He is extraordinary. This is the God. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded. This is a man with an intimate personal knowledge of Him. Oh my goodness. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Besides me, beside, apart from me, outside of me, except me, there is no other. God says, I'm the only one. Next to me, alongside me, parallel to me, there is no other. He's got no one. Above him, there's no one. Next to him, there's no one. Parallel to him, there's no one. Alongside him, there's no one. All are below him. All are under him. Everything is under him. Your situation is under him. Your circumstance is under him. Your predicament is under him. Your crisis is under him. Your problem is under him. Your lack is under him. Your poverty is under him. Your sickness is under him. Your disease is under him. This is the God we're talking about. God. The matchless one. I say God. Everything is below him. Everything is under him. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All kings are under him. All gods are under him. All lords are under him. Everything and everyone is under God. Everything is below God. Whether kings in the visible or the invisible, they are all under him. Whether gods in the visible, the invisible, they are under him. Whether lords in the visible and the invisible, they are under him. He is the God of gods, the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. Beside me, there is no one, he says. There is no one. Your money problem is under him. Your depression is under him. Your cancer is under him. Your limitation is under him. Whatever it is, whatever it is. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. I say, he says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Everything is under him. Everything is below him. He sits in the heavens. The earth is his footstool. The earth is God's carpet. What can boast here on earth? What sickness do you have that can boast? What disease do you have that can boast? What situation do you have that can boast? What is it that God cannot do? Seeing that the earth is, it is but his footstool, his carpet. Heaven is my throne. That is my footstool. Where is the house that he will build me? God dwells in the highest heavens. I say God dwells in the highest heavens. That means nothing is above him. Nothing is next to him. Everything is under him. He is in the highest heavens. And it says, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist. He made all things. He made everything. The thing that is bugging you now, he made it. Everything is made. He made everything, as we're going to see in John chapter number 1. He made everything. Nothing that exists. Nothing that exists was not made by God. It was all made by God. Nothing is outside. It was made by God. He was there before the beginning. Before the beginning, God was. And not only that, but God, he made the beginning. He created the beginning. Without God, there is no beginning, because God made the beginning, and to create the beginning for the beginning to be there. God. John 1 and 3. Confidence in God has got to do with the knowledge of God. Confidence in God has got to do with me knowing and understanding God. Lack of faith in me has got to do with my ignorance. Lack of faith in me has got to do with my lack of knowledge of Him. I lack knowledge. So I exalt other things above Him. And those things begin to master me, and I'm forever enslaved to them. John 1 and 3 says, all things were made, all things, underline all things were made. Let me just stop here for now. All things were made. So what is impossible for God? What's impossible with God then? If he made all things, what is impossible with God? If God made all things, what is impossible with God? This is why the Bible says there is nothing impossible with God. Why there is nothing impossible with God? Because all things were made by him. So impossible is not difficult for God. Impossible is not hard with God. It's not complicated with God. Impossible is the easiest thing with God because he made the impossible. All things were made by him. As a result, all things are possible with him. All things were made through him. And I love this part. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. God made everything, everything that is and everything that exists. Everything was made by God. Therefore, there is nothing above God. There is nothing impossible for him. There is nothing that God cannot do. Impossible is the easiest thing with God. He made everything. Everything is at the mercy. God is not at the mercy of, but everything is at the mercy of God. Everything is at the mercy. Everything reports to God. Everything is under him. Oh, hallelujah, church. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Absolutely nothing. So, you and I, we have no problem. We have no predicament. We have no difficulty. We have no crisis that God cannot solve. It does not exist. What you think God cannot solve has not been made. He did not make it. He has never made it. It's not there. It does not exist. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Are we still together in this place? Personal knowledge of God settles the issue of faith in the heart of man. Personal knowledge of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ wondered, he marveled at his own disciples. He said to them, this statement I will never forget, he said to them, how is it that you don't believe? He marveled. Why is it that you think that there is anything that is above God? How is it you don't believe? How is it you think there is anything that is above God? How is it you think that there is something that is too difficult for God? How is it you think that there is something that is too hard for God? How is it that you think that there is something that is too complicated for God to do? How is it that you think there is something that is impossible for God? How is it that you don't believe? He marveled at them. He marveled. He marveled. How is it you think that there is God beside God who could have made something that God cannot do? How is it you do not believe? How is it you do not believe? Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him all things were created. Again, can you see it? Can you see it? All things. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and things that are on earth. So what is it that you are believing God for? Is it in heaven? He made everything in heaven. Is it on earth? He made everything on earth. Is it under the water? He made everything under the water. What is it that you are believing God for? It does not matter where it is. It doesn't matter where it is. He made it. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created. Can you see again? All things were created through him and for him. Everything were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. Before everything was, God is. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. God, he created all things. He existed before all things. He is before all things. He created the visible world and the invisible world and all that is in them. God created it all. The Bible says, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, God, he made all of this. He created beings and entities of the invisible world. We know the physical world, that is a world that is even more real than the physical world, which we know nothing about. That's why he says, visible or invisible. Whether in heaven or on earth, I made everything. I am God. What is it that I cannot do? Right? What can the one who made invisible world and everything that is in it that we know, the beings and entities we know nothing about. What is it that could be impossible for God in this visible world? Which the visible world is the most obvious. So obvious. So obvious for him. Your situation, my situation, is too easy for God. It's too obvious for God to figure it out. It's too obvious. There is nothing hidden from him. He made it all. He knows it all. He created thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. Satan was created. Hell was created by God. Fallen angels created by God. Powers of darkness, demons created by God. All these were created by God. Why then would you fear? Why then? What is it that you're afraid of? Is it sickness? It was created. Is it disease? It was created. Why then would you fear? Is it death? Death was created. And remember, death has an expiration date. It was created. Is it sin? Sin was created. Why then would you fear? Is there anything that is your enemy as a child of God that you cannot triumph over? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Therefore, Satan is nothing. Demons are nothing. Hell is nothing. Sin is nothing, death is nothing, sickness is nothing, disease is nothing. God is everything. Everything or anything that you and I fear today, it is nothing. It is nothing. Anything that makes us fear, that causes us to fear, to be afraid, it is absolutely nothing. God looks at it and he loves that you can tremble before this thing because it is nothing. God is everything. God is everything. He dwells in the heavens of heaven. God is above all. There's nothing above him. There's nothing beside him. Right? Everything is below him. The earth is his footstool. James 2 and 19. James 2 and 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even demons, they believe and they tremble. Satan is afraid of God so much so that he trembles. Satan is afraid of God so much so that he trembles. Demons are so afraid of God so much so that they tremble. Hell is afraid of God so much so that it quivers in terror of God just at the mention of his name. What are you afraid of? Is it in heaven? Is it on earth? Is it in hell? Is it below? What are you afraid of? Everything trembles before God. Sickness and disease, they tremble before God. Death trembles before God. Sin trembles before God. Demons tremble before God. Powers of darkness tremble before God. Satan himself, he trembles before God. What is it that exists that was not made? What are you afraid of? Nothing can kill you. No one can kill you. God created everything. God created everything. Don't be afraid of the earthquake. He created it. Earthquake is created by God. Don't be afraid of the quake. Don't be afraid of thunder. Don't be afraid of lightning. Actually, there's nothing in thunder, but fear the lightning. There's nothing in the lightning. Lightning is nothing. God made it. God created it. Made everything there is. We're talking about God today. We're talking about faith. No wonder a lot of people, their faith is very feeble. They don't know the subject of their faith. They think that there are things that are impossible, that are things that cannot be done. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, speaking of his Father, in John 10 and 29, he says this. In John 10 and 29, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of his Father, he says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." He is greater. That phrase, "My Father is greater than all." Now you see the confidence of Jesus. Now you see where his confidence came from. You see where his conviction came from. You see why he was unshakable in his belief in God. This is the reason when he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, he did not shake. Why? Because he knew, "My Father is greater than all." He's greater than death. He's greater than the disease, the sickness rather, that killed Lazarus. He did not shake. Jesus stood before the tomb. They say, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. By this time, Lord, the man smells, he stinks." But the Lord was unmoved. He was unshaken. He proceeded to the tomb and he stood before the tomb. He says, "Roll the stone." His confidence, his conviction. "My Father is greater than this." In fact, he's greater than all. Why could he part the sea? Because he made the sea. How could he extract water from a rock? Because he made both the rock and the water. "My Father is greater than all." There is nothing that exists that it was not made by him. There is nothing that is made that God did not make. The confidence that every one of us as the children of God. That's why he says, "He who believes in me, these miracles he shall do." But what is the key? Believe in me. You have to know him. You have to know him. There is knowing God. There is knowing about God. Which one is yours? There is knowing God. There is knowing about God. Which one is yours? Because those two things are not the same. They're different. And those two people are not the same. They're different. They're different. "My Father is greater than all." God is greater than all. God is the greatest. God is everything. The Lord is so great that the psalmist says of him in Psalm 97 and verse 5, the psalmist says of God his greatness in Psalm 97 and verse number 5, it says, "The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord." The mountains, they melt. Mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Nahum, in the book of Nahum, chapter number 1, echoing the psalmist in verses 4 and 5. Nahum, chapter number 1, and verses 4 and 5. He says, "God rebukes the sea and he makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither and the flower of Lebanon wilts. The mountains quake, they shiver, they shudder, they tremble before him. The hills melt and the earth heaves, it shakes at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it, they tremble at the presence of the Lord." This is the God in whom we have believed. This is the God that we declare. This is the God that we proclaim. This is the God that we preach. This is the God that we say, "Have faith in him, for with him there is nothing impossible." Why? Because this is the God who was there before all things. Before the beginning was, God was. He made the beginning. Everything is at the mercy of God. There is nothing that is made that he did not make. Nothing exists that God did not make. He is a great God. Mountains, they melt like wax at his presence. He rebukes the sea and it dries up. The mountains, they quake, they shiver, they shudder, they tremble. The hills, they melt. Even earth itself, it shakes at his presence. And all that dwell in the earth, they tremble at the presence of God. Who is this God? The one who sits in the heavens of heaven. He sits in the highest heaven. The earth is but his footstool. God is so great, the human vocabulary is pathetically insufficient to define him. I say God is so great, the human vocabulary is pathetically insufficient to define him. All the adjectives and the superlatives cannot describe him. God is indescribable. God is inexplicable. This is our God. Ask Moses, he knows about him. Ask the generation of Joshua and Caleb, they know about him. Ask Daniel, he knows about him. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know about him. Go and ask Daniel, he knows about him. Go and ask Joseph, he knows about him. Go and ask David, he knows about this God. Go and ask the prophets, Samuel and the rest of them. Go ask Elijah, Elisha, they know about him. Was there anything impossible? Was there anything too hard, too difficult, too complicated for these people of God, for these faith worthies? Was there anything? Absolutely not. Why? Because they had a personal, intimate knowledge of him. Our generation is waiting for us to do exploits. But the exploits can only come when we begin to seek to know him. When we begin to seek to know him. We are common, we are ordinary, when we always go to God and asking for things and not asking to know him. We are common, we are ordinary, and we are going to die the death of ordinary people. How sad and unfortunate that is. Die the death of ordinary people. Because we pray like ordinary people. We're seeking things that ordinary people seek. That's why it says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. It says, because after all these things that Gentiles seek, common ordinary people, when you're seeking things that ordinary people are seeking, you're going to die a common death like them. Your generation won't even remember you. The generation won't even remember. Generations, they remember the seekers of God. Says, you are Jacob, you are of those that seek the Lord, those that seek his face. Those that seek his face. History is waiting to be made by you and by me. History. God is waiting on you and me. We are not waiting on him, he's waiting on us. For us to stir ourselves up to get a hold of him. God is waiting for us to stir ourselves up to get a hold of him. I say, God is waiting on you and on me for us to stir ourselves up to get a hold of him. John says it was manifested to us. Creation is waiting on you to manifest the living God. Creation is waiting on me and you to manifest the living God. Creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The people who know their God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Armed with this knowledge, there is no need for us to fear or to be defeated by Satan, by his demons, by his powers, by hell, or by anything. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ says, fear not, only believe. We must believe in God who made everything and God who controls everything. Fear not, don't be afraid. The Lord says, fear not, don't be afraid. Believe only. Believe only. Mark chapter number 5, 35 and 36. Do not be afraid. Believe only. Do not be shaken. Do not be moved. Do not tremble. Don't quake. Don't shake. Don't shudder. Don't be immovable. Be unshakable. Believe only. Only one condition. Believe only. Not many conditions. Not many conditions. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." He said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid of death." See, your daughter is dead. No, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Don't fear death. Why don't fear death? Because death was created. So fear the one who created death. Death was created. And he was saying, "I am the one. I'm standing here with you. So you've got nothing to fear. I created death. Death was created through me and for me." Because everything that was created, that's Colossians 1, 16 and 17 that we read, it was created through him and for him. Everything was created through him and for him. That's it. It says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding cities? God. Everyone was destroyed but Noah and his family. 8 people, the Bible says, were saved. Can you see? So don't be afraid of destruction. Don't be afraid of coronavirus. Don't be afraid of a pandemic. No. Fear the one who destroys both the body and soul in hell. These things can destroy your body. Don't be afraid of the things that can destroy your body. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not. There are pandemics that are still coming. Some of them, they are still cooking them. In the heart of hell, they are still cooking them. Do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Believe only. Do not. The worst things than COVID. COVID was but a dress rehearsal. COVID is nothing. Greater things are still coming. But the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Believe only. Know who God is. There is nothing that is made that was not made by God. Don't be afraid. When they tell you the worst pandemic has come, don't be afraid. When they tell you about Ebola, don't be afraid. When they tell you about the bubonic plague that was, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Please, Christian, know who you are and whose you are, period. Do not be afraid. Psalm 91 is your shield. Do not be afraid. I thought the Bible was saying that we are hidden with Christ in God. So how will coronavirus find me when I'm hidden? I thought I was hidden with Christ in God. So the worst pandemics that are coming, how will they find me? How will they locate me? Because to get me, they have to go through him. Tell a neighbor, say God. Say it softly, say God. Say it romantically, say God. This is why the Lord says, know me, understand me, believe me. And he's saying, I created you for this. I made you to know me. I made you to understand me. I made you to believe me. Knowledge of God is key to believe God. Knowledge of God is key to believe God. Knowledge is key in faith. Daniel says, the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And do exploits. They will carry out exploits. The people that know their God, they shall not be, they will not wobble. They will not stagger. They will be strong. They will not faint. They will be strong. The people that know their God throughout the generations, they will be strong. I say they will be strong. They will not be weak. They will not faint. And they shall do great exploits. Let's clap hands for Jesus today. This is key to understanding why the Lord Jesus Christ, he did the miracles that he did, why he did the supernatural things that he did, and why those that came after him and those that were there before he was manifested in the flesh here on earth, they did the things that they did. It was their intimate personal knowledge. This is one of the reasons that Moses had to say to him, Lord, show me your glory. I want to know you more intimately. I want to know you more intimately. And because of what the man has seen, because of what the man has encountered, it's all written in the volumes of the books. It's all written. To know him intimately. Lord, show me your glory. The prophet Elijah, he says, the God before whom I stand, he knew his God. He is the God before whom I stand. This is the man, when he called for fire, fire came immediately. The God before whom I stand. How many times has Moses gone to the mountain and he was there 40 days and 40 nights? Where was the man? He was enveloped, he was covered, he was shrouded in the glory. For the 40 days and the 40 nights, he was in timelessness. He was in eternity. People are saying he was there fasting. There is no fast in eternity. There is no fast in timelessness. Why? Because there, in that realm, hunger does not exist. Thirst does not exist. He was in the glory. Moses was 40 days, 40 nights in the glory. He was not fasting. There's no hunger in the glory. There's no thirst in the glory. He was in timelessness. He was in eternity for 40 days and 40 nights. He was in eternity while he was alive. He came back. He stepped back out of eternity and came into this world. Talk about Moses. The man who tasted eternity while he was still alive and stepped back out of eternity and came into this world. See that? What Moses knew, he could do what he did. What he knew. Because of what he knew, he could do what he did. Let's devote our time. Let's devote ourselves to knowing God. To knowing God. To knowing God.